This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We are in month two of what I think one can say without too terribly much fear of contradiction is the most important antitrust trial of the 21st century. Granted, we are not even a quarter of the way through said century, but United States v. Google LLC is a biggie. A keyword search of the government's original complaint tells you exactly what this case is all about. Default is the keyword in question. The Department of Justice says Google paid Apple and others billions of dollars a year to be the default search engine on devices of all kinds. Google says it's just better. And anyway, if consumers really wanted to use some other search engine, nothing's stopping them. But come on, how often do you really change the defaults on anything? Marketplace's Matt Levin starts us off today on the consumer inertia beat.
Jared Spool has been trying to design more user-friendly tech since the late 1970s. If you're still using a full-size keyboard, you may be familiar with one of his claims to fame.
I was on the team that invented those six buttons that are above the arrow keys.
Insert, home, page up, delete, end, page down?
Yeah, you got it.
That's you, Jared?
Yeah.
Spool now runs a tech design consulting firm called Center Center, all focused on the user experience. He says in his nearly half century in the business, defaults have always been incredibly powerful, even when they don't make sense. He remembers when autosave in Microsoft Word was turned off by default.
People would memorize the shortcut for saving.
That's Control S.
And they would develop that as just a knee-jerk reaction. Do a little bit of work.
Hit Control S.
Do a little bit of work.
Hit Control S again.
Do a little bit of work.
You get the picture. Behavioral economists have been talking about the power of defaults for decades. You know, if a company auto-enrolls you in a 401k, you're more likely to save for retirement, that type of thing. But Spool says with default settings in hardware or software, there's often more fear at play.
Because there was some time in the past where you changed a setting and then everything broke and you couldn't connect why it wasn't working to the fact that you changed the setting. And so it's scary to change those settings.
And even if you are willing to risk an hour of hold time on the tech support hotline and want to change those defaults, well, if they make the tech companies money, they're not going to make it very intuitive to change them.
It's sort of like going into someone's house and they tell you to help yourself to a glass of water, and you open up the cabinet that seems logical to you, but there aren't any glasses in that. So you have to open up the next one, you have to open up the next one.
Google pays billions of dollars annually for default status, partly because that consumer inertia makes their search engine better at returning the right results. Katie Van Dyke is senior counsel at the American Economic Liberties Project, an anti-monopoly advocacy group.
They have created a feedback loop where they get more users and more ads and more data and better search, and it has locked every competitor out.
It's not just Van Dyke saying this. In a twist of antitrust irony, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella essentially testified that Google is better at search than Microsoft Bing because of all the data it gets from being a default. Microsoft lost its antitrust case in the early 2000s over web browser defaults, which arguably paved the way for Google. And while the U.S. has been slow to interrupt the default search feedback loop, Europe has tried to regulate it.
Google essentially lost this default issue in Europe. So when you get your new phone or you get your new laptop and you take it out of the box and turn it on for the first time, you are given a menu of search engines.
The EU applied that solution to Android phones, which Google owns. So far, the results are somewhat mixed, says Steve Tedelis at UC Berkeley's Haas School of Business.
It turns out that most people still choose Google because we know that Google is the superior search engine at the moment.
Many people just don't know non-Google search engines by name. So in an internet of an exhaustingly infinite number of choices, they default to the brand they know. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.